greet you in Jesus' name this morning. So I was listening to some of the children say their verses. That verse, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I'm just curious, how many of you have heard the story of Doris Dean? Okay, a couple of you. When I was growing up, my parents had a cassette, days before CDs, of someone telling that story. And maybe sometime I'll try to get that together. And it was a very touching story, a very powerful story. And it's a story that brings that verse to life. So this morning, Andy messaged me earlier in the week, and he said, hey, just wanted to make sure you're remembering that you're on to preach. And I wasn't remembering that, and I was really hoping it would have been somebody else's turn to preach this morning. And kind of throughout the week, I wrestled with this thing. Does God want me to preach about some of the things that we've experienced over the past couple weeks, 10 days, or should I move on and talk about something else? And I felt like God made it clear to me that he wanted me to share a message of comfort. And so I'm going to try to do that this morning. And I guess if you can pray for anything this morning, you could pray that I would be able to keep my emotions together and share what God has given to me to share. So you can turn to John 11. And as I thought about this message, and as this message came to me, I was specifically thinking of the Deamer family. But as I studied, and I was thinking about how many of us experience pain, and experience sorrow, and experience grief, and it's this message this morning, it's meant to be an encouragement for us to bring our burdens to God. And the title of the message is simply, Come, Bring Your Burdens to God. And I titled that, I asked Leland if he could lead us in a song, that song, at the end of the message after prayer. So I'd like to sing that song. And I suppose if we look back on our lives, and especially maybe 2 weeks ago on Tuesday, most of us, our weeks were going like normal. I probably most of us can look back and picture exactly what we were doing when we got Curtis's message in all caps on the brother's chat. And I don't know how some of you ladies found out about it or heard about it. Up until that point, our week was going pretty much normal. We were going about our work. We were making plans for the coming days. We would have never thought that, just like that, our week would change, and suddenly the things that we thought were important or we had to get done, all of a sudden, those things could wait for days or maybe weeks. I suppose it's fair to say that the level of grief or pain we're experiencing right now is directly related to how close that we knew John, how closely we knew John. In other words, those of us, or maybe those who saw John occasionally, will miss him and are sorrowful, but they're not experiencing the deep pain that John's family and those close to him are feeling right now. The Deamer's whole life has changed. Someone they relied on isn't there anymore. Someone they enjoyed laughing with isn't there to tell humorous stories anymore. John's absence will be keenly felt every day. And as I thought about that, I thought about our lives and how invariably every one of us is going to be at that point sometime or another in our life. It might be death. It might be a lot of different things. It might be rejection. It might be, I don't know everything you're facing, but every one of us is going to have to face that. Mary and Martha knew what that was like. The story in John 11 talks about these sisters and their brother that were, Lazarus got sick and died. And their home that had once been filled with conversation and laughter, and now their brother Lazarus was gone. Their brother, their family, their daily companion. And their house became a house of mourning, of sorrow and grief. But I don't want to dwell on that this morning. What I want to think about is what happened. Jesus came to their house. Jesus came to their house of sorrow, and he brought hope and comfort. This week, or recently, we have felt what it feels like we understand how fragile life is. It reminded us how fragile life really is. It reminded us how quickly sorrow and pain can enter our lives. And it's in moments like this that we find ourselves standing in the same place Mary and Martha stood, trying to make sense of something painful. But in this passage, John 11, Jesus brought to Mary and Martha the same thing that he brings to us today. And the promise that he shared with Mary and Martha in verse 25 is still the same promise that he brings to us today. So I have 3 points to the message. And I'm going to read this passage and just think about my points as we read. My first point is Martha, grief seeks answers. My second point is Mary, grief seeks comfort. And my last point is Jesus bringing hope to grieving hearts. Martha, grief seeks answers. Mary, grief seeks comfort. And Jesus bringing hope to grieving hearts. I'm going to read this, and I'm going to read the first 6 verses, and then I'm going to jump to 17, and then read to verse 45. John 11. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whatsoever liveth and believeth, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me, shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. So my first point, Martha, grief seeks answers. When Jesus came, was on his way to Bethany. I'm not sure, well, it does say how far it was. Jesus was not at their house yet. And somehow Martha heard that Jesus was on the way, and Martha went to meet Jesus. And she had a mission. She had some questions for Jesus, maybe some accusations. She had some things she wanted to talk through with Jesus. And she went and met Jesus, and she said in verse 21, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And I don't know if you can just imagine with me, you can almost hear the ache in her words. She believed in Jesus. She loved Jesus, but she didn't understand. I assume she probably knew that they called for Jesus and he waited 2 days to start heading their way. She had questions and she tried to reason through the situation. It seemed like she was saying to Jesus, Make this make sense. And when we face grief, we might have a similar response. Why did this happen? Why so suddenly? Why now? Could I have done something to prevent this? Is God trying to tell me something? It's questions, it's things that we might wrestle with when there's things that we don't understand. And even if we have a relationship with Christ, it's natural for us to have questions or to struggle to reason through why God allows things to happen the way he does. It may be possible that the hardest part of Martha's sorrow and grieving was not so much the pain and sorrow itself, but the questions surrounding it. The questions she was wrestling with, the things she didn't understand, the things that didn't make sense to her. And I think grief can create questions that don't have immediate answers. Jesus didn't have any immediate answers for Martha. And when someone dies unexpectedly, we may turn the situation over and over again in our minds. We may replay the events. We may think what might have been different. We search for something that will make the pain make sense, just like Martha was doing here. She had this conversation with Jesus, and while it doesn't record her actually asking questions, it was obvious in her conversation with Jesus that she was grappling with what happened, and she was trying to make it make sense. In verse 23 and 24, one of the realities of her grief that she was grappling with was the realization that some of her questions wouldn't be answered in this life. Jesus said, "Thy brother shall rise again," and then Martha's response to that was, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And in that, she was admitting, just her response was that she didn't expect answers that would be answered in this, answers to the questions in this life. But you know, the most important thing about this is where Martha took her questionings and reason, her questions and her reasonings. In verse 20, it says, "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was still in the house." It seemed like she was anxious to take her questions to Jesus. It seems like she knew who would have the answers. And she brought them to Jesus. And if you notice, he didn't rebuke her. He didn't tell her, "You shouldn't feel this way," or "You shouldn't question God." Instead, he gently pointed her to a deeper truth in verse 25. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And then he asked Martha, "Do you believe this?" And if you notice, she didn't exactly answer his question. She's like, "Yes, I believe that thou art the Christ and the Son of God, which should come into the world." But she didn't specifically answer the second part of his question in verse 26. And what Jesus was trying to tell Martha here was he was holding forth the hope of eternal life, the hope of heaven. And as we face hard times in life, as we face sorrow and pain, Jesus wants us to know that some of our questions might only come when we get to heaven. And my encouragement here would be that when sorrow confuses us, and when sorrow brings questions that we don't have answers to, we can take those questions to Jesus. And in times of grief, we search for answers. But like Martha, sometimes the peace we need doesn't come from having answers. It comes from knowing the one that does. My next point, Mary, grief seeks comfort. In verse 28 talks about Mary calling, or Martha calling her sister secretly and said, "The master has come and calleth for thee." And then in verse 32, Mary came where Jesus was, saw him, and fell down at his feet. And Mary, if you notice, Mary said the exact same thing that Martha said in verse 32. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But that's where the similarity stopped. Mary doesn't begin a discussion. She doesn't ask more questions. She doesn't reason with Jesus. She simply falls at the feet of Jesus and weeps. One of the most natural instincts of the human heart in grief is to seek comfort. And when pain enters our lives, we instinctively look for somewhere to bring that pain. There's a lot of different places we can go for comfort, but in these verses, Mary shows us the best place to go with our grief. Mary brought her sorrow to the feet of Jesus. And this wasn't the first time that Mary was at Jesus' feet. Remember that? In Luke 10, she sat at his feet listening to his teaching. This was a place that she was familiar with. In fact, it seems that she preferred being at Jesus' feet listening to him than doing her housework. And if you remember that kind of frustrated Martha, remember the time that Mary was sitting there listening to Jesus and Martha was just bustling about, and she came to Jesus and said, "Can you tell Mary to come help me with getting ready for the company and hosting the company?" It was at the feet of Jesus that Mary learned to trust him. And when Martha came back from talking to Jesus, and told her Jesus was headed their way, Mary knew exactly where she wanted to be. Mary had been at Jesus' feet in devotion, and now she was at Jesus' feet in sorrow. And when Mary fell at Jesus' feet, she didn't have words to explain how she felt or to express her grief. All she could do was weep. And the beautiful thing about this story was Jesus understood. He didn't need a long explanation from Mary about how she was feeling. And Mary wasn't looking for that from Jesus. They simply grieved together. And in my mind, I can picture them, Mary kneeling at the feet of Jesus, possibly with Jesus' hand on her shoulder, comforting her. And there were really no words being spoken. Mary found out what many people experience in times of grief. She simply needed someone to comfort her in her sorrow. She just needed Jesus' presence. Someone to sit beside her, someone who understood, someone who cared. And just like Jesus, in the verses prior, gave Martha what she needed, Jesus here gave Mary what she needed. He didn't reason with her. He didn't rush past her pain. He simply stood there and shared her grief. And I'd like to hold this forth to us and the Deemer family. When we experience pain, when life hurts deeply, the best place for our hearts is still at the feet of Jesus. Sometimes the deepest worship happens not in moments of joy, but in moments of sorrow. It's a place where we can find comfort. It's a place where we can find peace even in the middle of pain and heartache. My last point, Jesus bringing hope to grieving hearts. And I thought it was interesting how Mary and Martha both loved their brother. They loved the same Savior. They experienced the same loss, but they responded to their sorrow in different ways. Martha was trying to understand. She wanted answers. Mary wasn't looking for explanations. She simply wanted comfort, someone to stand beside her. Jesus met both their needs. He spoke truth to Martha, and he comforted Mary. Maybe you're like Martha, wrestling with questions, trying to reason it out. Maybe you're like Mary, simply carrying a deep sorrow. The wonderful truth that this passage holds forth is that Christ is able to meet you where you are. He gives truth for the questioning mind, and comfort for the grieving heart, and hope for the future. And in the middle of all the sorrow that day in Bethany, Jesus made one of the most powerful statements in all of scriptures. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And Jesus didn't say this after he performed a miracle. He said it while everyone was grieving. Mary is weeping. The mourners are crying. Lazarus has been in the tomb 4 days. And right in the middle of this sorrow, Jesus speaks words of hope. And those same words are true today. We do have the comfort and the promise of heaven. And when people are grieving, it's natural to focus on what has been lost. Mary and Martha did that. They were focused on the loss of their brother. But Jesus gently redirected their focus. I am the resurrection and the life. His words gave hope. And today, healing and hope is still found in Jesus' words and in Jesus Christ himself. Even though Jesus brought hope to Mary and Martha, it didn't eliminate their grief. Mary and Martha still grieved. Jesus wept, but it wasn't a hopeless grief. In verse 24, Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus still does this today. Where there is despair, he brings hope. Where there is confusion, he brings truth. Where there is sorrow, he brings comfort. When we bring our grief to him, he doesn't immediately remove the pain, but he gives peace that calms our hearts. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Mary and Martha stood in front of the tomb that day believing the story had ended. But Jesus showed them that with God, the story is never finished at the grave. And it wasn't long after that that Jesus himself would face death and conquer it forever. And the same Savior who stood outside Lazarus' tomb still walks beside us today. And one day, the voice that called Lazarus from the grave will call every believer home. And what comforted Mary and Martha that day in Bethany wasn't that they suddenly understood everything. Their comfort came because Jesus was standing beside them. And that same truth can comfort us today. When we sorrow and mourn, Jesus understands our pain. And sometimes the greatest comfort is simply knowing that Jesus understands. And one day, because of Jesus, there will be a reunion beyond the grave. And I guess my encouragement to us is that whether we're a Mary or a Martha, and we deal with the pain and sorrows of life by questioning or trying to reason through it, or if we just simply need comfort, Jesus can help us through that. Let's pray.